So you're continuing the thought about proceeding and with the focus on interpretation of the data, and two focuses will be clear on distribution and alpha s. But before that, I actually have a short addendum to my presentation on Monday.
Just very freshly released the result on the WNZ production and Fortune TV, and also ratios of the WNZ production. And it's no archive yet, so but this is sufficient release, should appear tomorrow. So what is new compared to preliminary? It's the same data set, so this is 81 in your speak about. Improved luminosity, improved systematics, and improved accuracy for the ratio. So ratios reach now about 2% accuracy for the W over Z ratio, and 0.8% for W plus over W minus. And so you see that the W plus over W minus starts to be comparable to the PDF uncertainties. And for W over Z, this is still not as one wants to improve, but what's interesting, as we see all the time, that the ratio is systematically lower all the predictions, even the Atlas dedicated feed to the round one data, which had enhanced ranges. So this is the yardstick to compare. So this is the largest ranges, this is suppressed more or less by half.
Excuse me, I'd like to comment before you go on regarding your point four. And I know you didn't mention it much, but this is misinformation. Okay, as you might have expected, I was going to say that. So there is no issue with fuse for symmetric PT cuts. There is a problem with fixed order perturbation theory with symmetric PT cuts, such that you predict an aphysical jump in the cross section. Now, you can remove this by basically smearing out this region of phase space, which is what DY NNLO does in their approach. However, you know, just so you know what's going on there, if you decide to smooth things out with the QT cut parameter, this is not doing fixed order QCD. This is just drawing a line and doing a fit.
Okay.
And I'm actually, I don't know if you're in communication with the Atlas people who are running this, but this is being discussed as we speak.
Yes. Okay.
So just to correct that, there is no problem. There's a problem perhaps with fixed order perturbation.
There is an example in the prediction which is not present in divine and low. And so the predictions were wrong by 1% or 0.7% because
this
of
this 1% jump is something that appears in fixed order QCD. Okay, it's not a problem in the program.
If you're running symmetric cuts, you're going to be in trouble.
Unless QT cut smears this out, which is what DOI NNLO does, you make QT cut large enough, it smears out this jump, which is what you're...
But then you're missing part of the prediction.
You're missing part of the prediction, exactly. I just want to make the point, this is not a problem with fuse, this is a problem with fixed order QCD.
You move the cut by 100 mV cross sections, this is, we talk about 20 GV, and we move it, but no, there is no jump in divine law, there is a huge jump.
This is fixed order QCD predicts a jump, period.
But the point is, we discuss it later on, probably. Yeah. Let's move on with the main topic of the talk. All right, so why gluon and why alpha s? LHC is working in the gluon-dominated region, so many processes depend on the gluon density. And of course, it's not super well known at low x. And alpha s is obviously the fundamental parameter of this standard model. And if you look at the various methods to measure it, then there is quite some interesting scatter. So for tau decays, it's sort of up. The latest manipulations, they dominate measurement, they sometimes move around, so the world average recently got increased uncertainty and some shift because of the evaluation of lattice results. And for the structure function, there's a big debate what's going on because the tradition one after another, there is a paper from IBM saying that there is a very low value of FS, but some other rules find something different. But, and nonetheless, it's and there are, of course, measurements from lab and our plus and minus machines. And there is a global analysis from GFITER. And finally, we now start to see first results from LHC here for this world average only same as centers. So Atlas only recently started to publish FS measurements. Okay, so this is interesting. So just to highlight why glue is important, even more important first on TV compared to ATV. So we, of course, go to lower X by factor of 2, roughly. If we measure fixed mass resonances, And okay, so last time we discussed that we have much more C compared to valence, but we also have, of course, much more gluon at low X. And all the cross sections which are blue dominated, such as, for example, Higgs production, they increase very much. So you can see here, so it goes from 20 to something about 50. So you have an increase, I mean, factor of 2.5 to 4. And this is, of course, very important. And of course, if you look at the data, which is the Higgs atlas result in the Higgs cross section, this is perhaps a slightly different thing, but of course, a very special presentation of the data. This is systematic, so this is statistics. So it's all fine within statistics. Okay. All right, so what are the main sources? How do we measure this gluon distribution? So still the main and the most precise material source is the scaling violation of the structure function F2 from here. And to least, to smaller extent, is also measurement of FL. So F2 itself is sensitive to quarks, but the scaling, Q-square dependence of F2 is very strong, and this is all driven by the gluon, essentially. And yeah, so this is the main source of the information, especially for low X. Now, the other source is, of course, jet production, and this is what I will talk a bit more in a moment. And this is not only PP and PP bar, but there is also information coming from HERA, from EP. So something which we discussed before a lot, and we probably should start discussing again, this is the information from the direct production, photon production of hadron colliders. This is probing roughly the same range as jets, and yeah, so we will also talk about that as well. So the new thing which we recently discussed yesterday is this TT-bar production cross-section, just the integrated cross-section, one number which can be used for multiple purposes, as was discussed yesterday. So one of them is PDS, the other one is actually RFS. But you can see that the main constraining power of the gluon density is roughly at x of 0.1. And there are, in fact, also interesting measurements which are at very low x. So we talked a lot about various LHCb-based constraints, but one of them was actually not discussed. This is measurement of open charm, although this is something for which we don't have very precise theory. Nonetheless, in this range, the gluon density is very uncertain, so any information is useful. And so this is what we already have, but perhaps there are some new ideas. So, for example, Ari was talking about using A4 to measure valence density. So, in deep polarization, now we measure A0. So, this is sensitive to the gluon. And as the measurement gets more precise, this is quite alternative approach compared to jets. And, of course, we always discuss that the ZPT is extremely precise. And perhaps at some point we can also use it for something useful. Especially if we develop theory for which is also useful for W mass, and in this case, this theory must be quite good, and perhaps we can use it for interpretations. Okay, so let's move on, and just a few remarks on the results. It's not complete, it's just a selection of some results. So on the left hand side, you see a CMS analysis of the jet data at 7 TV, and this is, in fact, a feed to HERA plus CMS data compared to the feed just to plain HERA data. And you see quite sizable reduction of uncertainty, especially at high X. At low X, it's some effect from the parameterization. But also, you can see that the jets are from inclusion of they make the gluon significantly harder compared to the HERA data. So now, Atlas did the similar analysis. For example, this is a dead jet data compared to various PDFs, and on this plot you cannot see much, but you have to believe me that also similar to CMS, Atlas jet data prefers harder gluon compared to HERA. So this is it. All jet data seem to be preferring harder gluon compared to the HERA data, and this is also confirmed by the global heaters. there was some discussion with CTEX that they see a bit of a tension between HERA and JET data, and from the JET data, the gluon becomes more hard. So it's just two words of caution about the JET data. First of all, these are, covering huge range in the phase space in PT and rapidity. And in certain regions of the phase space, the measurement is extremely precise statistically. So you have statistical uncertainty at the level of below 1%. So everything is dominated by systematics, and the main systematic source is jet energy scale. So experiments took extreme care to understand the sources of the uncertainty in the jet energy scale. So there are really different methods to, first of all, calibrate that. So, balance of Z plus Z, or photon plus Z, or multi-Z balance. And this somehow probes different regimes in PT and then allows to constrain the uncertainties. Of course, it's also important not to measure it as a function of PT, but also extrapolate properly as a function of rapidity. And then there is a quite sizable dependence on the uncertainty, because we best can calibrate in the center region, and in the forward we have to rely on we rely more on the so this so-called heat intercalibration. So this is sort of data driven, but we have to rely on Monte Carlo to some extent, and there is a larger uncertainty which goes to the forward region. And all these sources are, all together there are up to 100 Newton parameters to describe the correlation model of the data. And this leads really to rather complex correlation pattern between different winds. You see very, very strong correlation between neighboring winds, but also quite strong correlations across large phase space of the measurement. So, and this correlation model is extremely important for the interpretation. So if it's wrong, then you can get bad chi-squares, over-constrained particle density, and so on. An example of that. So the CMS measurement of PDF analysis from CMS also contained an erratum and an update of the correlation model, which was originally published by the collaboration. And of course, one should use this, not the original correlation model. Okay, this is on the experimental side. And on the theory side, okay. we all know that essentially, all blue initiated processes we look at LHC, they have very large next-to linear order corrections. It's everywhere, basically. And most of the phase space for the jet production is blue initiated. It's not everywhere. For high PT, it is we start to get quite discriminated, but nonetheless, there's large regions of phase space which are blue dominated, and I believe we really need next to leading order corrections. So, of course, we have a great progress with them, but they are not, we don't have them yet. And of course, what we need for proper fits, we need all them in a way such that they can be performed fast, so that we can introduce them into our fitting machinery. So what was done now by the PDF group? So they tried to estimate the regions in the phase space that these corrections are potentially large, and they essentially remove the data for these regions. And sometimes it leads to some funny features because, collaborations published 0.4, 0.6, 0.5, 0.7 jet radii, and more or less by random choice, the fitting group select 0.7 for CMS and 0.4 for Atlas, and a lot of Atlas was removed by fits because the corrections are estimated to be larger. Okay, so that means we need to improve collaboration with PDF fitting groups and suggest what exactly to fit. But the bottom line, whatever we do with jets, we need next to leading quarter to really explore the potential of this data. So far, it's just these are studies, but yeah. So there are large uncertainties, and we need higher order corrections. So now let's see. So a few more highlights from the other sources. So one, as I said, direct photon production is an interesting potential source. So we used it before for gluon density determination, but then dropped because of the uncertainties in the fragmentation corrections and so on. These are relevant for lower energy. Now we measure for large ET of the photons, and these corrections are relatively small, so perhaps we can reintroduce it back. But there is immediately a surprise if you look at the, say, 7 TV Atlas data, and we compare it to different PDFs. We see, first of all, most of the PDFs have a quite sizable slope compared to the data, and the only one which has a less slope is the IBM PDF, which is actually an outlier with very soft glow on the FX. So this is, there is a potentially tension between photon and jet data. And so this is, to some extent, is continued by the new data from Atlas at ATV. So this is still preliminary, should be released as a paper very soon. And so compared to the 7 TV results, it's okay, more statistics allow us to go more differential. So we have 4 eta bins. And also there is an updated theory. So instead of, HFM connected to Jet Fox for fragmentation. So we use now so-called pattern, I don't know how to promote the proper calculation, which includes additional fresh and resummation corrections. And so what you see here is a comparison of the data to this prediction, the Fox and pattern with CT10. And what you see is that in principle, you got a better normalization agreement with this threshold resummation corrections. On the other hand, there is a still quite sizable slope between the prediction and the data. So this is qualitatively similar to 7 TV results. So potentially, again, there is a hint that the ground density is not exactly what we think with, from the global PDFs. Okay, so it's yet another source which we discussed to some extent yesterday. This is CT-bar inclusive and differential data. Okay, Alison was showing a PT distribution of the CT-bar system. I show here this is a rapidity distribution of the CT-bar. And you can see that there is some discriminating power of this variable, but it's actually a nice discriminating power. And here, for example, here we have is actually disfavored. So this variable favors the traditional CT10, CT14 type of PDFs. We did also a smallest. Okay, so next question, what can RAM2 data bring? And so we did a study in which just inclusive cross section. And in this case, we did a study in which we assumed that the RAM2 would be able to measure with the same accuracy, with doubled accuracy, or twice worse compared to RAM1. And at RAM1, we measure this TT-bar over Z ratio to roughly 2% accuracy. So, and one can see that with even doubling the twice worse accuracy, one can get an interesting constraint at high X. So what's also interesting, if you continue to squeeze on accuracy, there is actually no improvement anymore at some point. So we did a little exercise by trying to understand what's going on, and one can do a rotation of the eigenvectors and see, and one sees that one of the eigenvectors is fully constrained to zero, but there are other remaining. And so the bottom line, from a single measurement, you cannot infinitely constrain a distribution. You can constrain certain eigenvector, but you cannot constrain everything. Okay, but that's also interesting, that perhaps from the PDF point of view, you don't need to push too hard. On the other hand, if these PDFs are not good enough, maybe one can push alpha S or something else. Okay, so this is the data from preliminary from 13 TV. So this is again the small data sample. So TT-bar has a new preliminary update on the cross section, and at some point we will update this value with updated Z, so to improve statistical accuracy in particular, and this will be interesting to see.
So is the top PDF there ABM?
Yes, this is ABM. So yeah, here it looks like the TT-bar prefers traditional PDFs at the moment, at least.
So do you know if you happen to, if ABM has their
particular way, like you set the strong coupling cluster. Yeah. So if you were to use something more in line with what other groups use, does that move it over?
It's complicated. So I mean, you cannot just change alpha-S and then don't change gluon. This would not fit the Hera data at all. So.
Yeah, I guess you have to repeat
that. Yeah, you have to repeat the heat, and they don't provide this type of variation, basically. But actually, I will come in a moment to something related to your question. Okay, so let's move on. Yeah, so very quickly. So, yes, since we don't know much about gluon at very low X, any data are useful. And so LCB open charm, this is not very super accurate, but and the theory is perhaps not as accurate as well. So this is quite old MNR and lower calculation. So we took these codes and optimized to run in the feeds. So these are now fast. And then one can perform feeds. And one can see that this bands also include theory uncertainty. Traditionally, PDF feeds scale variations are not performed. Here they are performed. And one can see that one can constrain lower X quite nicely. And this is interesting for people doing, for example, neutrino experiments. So this ice cube, so this is, it was actually used, this type of feeds to constrain their cross-section correlations. Okay. So let's switch to alpha S. And all right. So first of all, the main highlight from the measurement of alpha S at EP and PP colliders that we can achieve really very great coverage in the scales which we probe, and so we can indeed measure the rank of alpha S. And then you see, of course, somehow different experiments we measure somehow systematically shifted around the central prediction based on the previous fault average. And this is most likely not experimental systematic, but rather different methods which are used for determination. They have different theoretical uncertainty. So in principle, these data are very difficult to combine together. And okay, this is all, basically all the analyses are performed at M low. And of course, this would look much better if we have next to leading quarter.
How do you deal with the issue that was raised earlier about if you vary alpha S, you should also vary the fit of the PDF that goes into making these predictions?
Yeah, so this is next. So, yeah, in this measurement, this is particularly actually two next. Right. So, okay, so one of the traditional ways to measure alpha S at the Hadron Collider is to measure N plus 1 to N jet rate ratio. This is just traditionally, so there are several modifications of this method, but there are, for example, azimuthal decorrelation measurements, so which is effectively measuring also the 3 to 2. But okay, so let's just focus on this one. So why it's nice, so if you deal with 3 and 2 jets, then at the end you cancel quite a few experimental uncertainties, more or less left. 1 jet at the end. Okay. So there is a tricky little bit that about the theoretical uncertainties. So we had a quite long debate in Atlas, and this maybe slowed down some of the papers. So normally, if we compute the scale uncertainty for this ratio, we assume that the renormalization and factorization scales for 3 and 2 jets should be sort of correlated to each other. So you vary them simultaneously, and then you can get this scale uncertainty, which is large, but relatively okay, not super large. But on the other hand, of course, one can argue that this is perhaps not the case because you have 2 jets and you have extra alpha S. You have so why 3 jets scale uncertainty should be the same as for 2 jets? And in this case, actually, scale error just blows up enormously. I mean, this 5 is of course also very large. It's also interesting, if you look at the paper, this 5 comes from quite asymmetric uncertainty. So it's 0 to go down and 5 to go up. And after symmetrization, it becomes 5. So now, back to question about IBM and other PDFs. So, this ratio of 3 to 2 jets can be compared to different PDFs. And this was also done in this EMS analysis. the left one is comparison to MMPDF, and the right one comparison to ABM, and you see it, yeah, so just before previous, for default previous, it just doesn't work quite okay, IBM. On the other hand, of course, now for the alpha S extraction on the region above 600, maybe it is used to avoid the kinematic effects at lower PT. And in this region, actually, it's not that bad. And then if you extract alpha S using MMPDF 2.1, and here for each alpha S value, they provide full PDF uncertainty. So this is a self-consistent analysis which you can do. That's the only set which, okay, not 3.0, I think has the same. And for IBM, which is just a sample value which you can do, and you get immediately quite different value. And but on the other hand, chi score is increased. It's still actually not a bad fit. So it's, I think, 30 over 20 compared to 21 over 20. So this is still a big question, how to deal with PDFs and in this type of extraction. And it's just an illustration how it was, how it, why it's, I mean, it's obvious that there is a strong correlation between gluon and alpha S. I think that the best is actually to just to look at some here analysis of that. So this is just illustration what happens. This is pure here data fit. So if you freeze alpha S and have no jet data, you have very nice constraint in the gluon density. So now if you free alpha S, immediately it blows up. And but then if you add the jets, there is a correlation between alpha S and jets, but it's different compared to structure, scaling variation in the structure function, and you get some constraining power. So I think the proper alpha S determinations are, I mean, they should be combined with the PDF fit in any way. So, I mean, one can also use PDF eigenvectors and do profiling, but I think the best is to do full fits in this case.
Let's try 5 minutes.
I can wrap up faster. Okay, so I'm actually at the end. Right, so, I mean, this is. Okay, so what kind of other observables can be used? And
I mean, the idea is still the same. So we look at the larger jet multiplicity compared to smaller jet multiplicity, and but we also can use something which was traditionally used at plus and minus machines. For example, we can use transverse energy-energy correlation. So essentially, so at lab, this would be using not jets, it would be using all reconstructed objects. So you would sum up over all particles and you would build this correlation. And so it has a shape that there is a self correlation peak that's close to unity, and there is a back to back configuration which is peaking at minus one. And so the modification in case of hadron colliders, so instead of particles, you go for jets. You just do transverse energy-energy correlation computed for over jets, and this you can analyze just straight away this correlation information, or you can build an asymmetry out of that to cancel some uncertainties. Okay, so it turns out that at the beginning, so if you perform the analysis, you get an experimental uncertainty of 0.001 roughly, and then it's again dominated by the scale uncertainties, which is similar as in the previous case, but I don't know what is the deep reason here, but it looks like that this particular observable has slightly reduced PDF uncertainty, so it's but it's still it's dominating over the experimental uncertainty. So everywhere the theory uncertainty dominates. So to improve it, we need to higher order corrections, essentially. Actually, this is all I wanted to tell you. So I'm happy to wrap up. So, yeah, so I think that the main message from the talk should be that really to explore full potential of the data, which is now
collected at that LEC is to have complete next-to-next order calculations. Everyone should be aware of that these data are complicated, so we have quite strong deviations across measurement beams, so you cannot just look at the plot and say there is an inconsistency. You have to perform full Pascal analysis with likelihood analysis with full calculation information. And I believe there are some ideas beyond jet measurements how to perform studies of gluon and FS, but this is too early to discuss right now. We need some results first.
Let's take a couple of questions and then maybe have a 10 minute break instead of 15 and then eat the rest of the time out of lunch.
Sounds good. Any questions?
Yeah. So there seems to be quite a tension between the direct photon data and the TT bar data in terms of which alpha doesn't fit. And I think it would be really useful to put IPG vector boson production and think of comparing it to direct photons. I think it's cleaner probably than direct photon, and it's either available or will be available soon in next-to-next leading order, and so you'll have high theoretical accuracy and very clean experimental. I mean, maybe some of it's already been done, I don't know.
Okay.
Of course, the low PT part has to be resummed, and there's a lot of ambiguities there. When you get out to a pretty large PT, it seems like a great way to try to also get at gluons, too, because there's a big QG initial state.
So this is what people look at that, and people look at that using NLO calculations. But also people look at the ratios to reduce some, I mean, W plus over W minus plus. This is, of course, immediately reducing all the field uncertainties. So the disadvantage compared to direct photons that actually statistics is lower. Right? So I mean, it's very high PT where you want to do that, and photon has an advantage. But indeed, this next-to-next leading order, this has not been tried yet. So this is so to do it properly, we need some way to include that in feeds such that we can run
faster version that gets mostly right. Yeah. Okay.
And again, there is a work on that. So in principle, yeah. So hopefully, maybe in a year, maybe earlier, this will be available.
So I have additional information. So I have the Cauchy experiment to measure ratio between the theta bonon plus jet and gamma plus jet. Yeah. So I haven't actually showed the joke, but that is a measure problem.
Yes.
I thought CMS actually had the measurement of that. It looked a little different from some of the theory predictions. Now okay. Getting a multi-jet case or just a large PT without additional jets. There was one in the multi-jet case that had some differences.
But again,
I wouldn't say they were huge, but
Again, the gamma plus jet, we have some statistical issues. It's also not easy to identify a jet.
I'm not using the jet, using large PT Z's or W's. Because whenever you try to measure the jet, and you introduce the jet energy scale.
Yeah. I mean, so this is actually the design of this direct photon FATV. So it was a synchronization of that measurement to TZ measurement. So there will be a prescription how to take a ratio a posteriori. So it will be published separately. But so the systematics for the photon energy scale is related to the electron.
If you do Z in electrons.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that'd be interesting ratio.
And if the beaming is adjusted such that you can, without any correction, take the ratio. So it was quite some effort to do this. Yes.
Give a coffee and tea. Thank you very much.